Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Proof of Life Afterlife: 7 Reasons to Believe There is an Afterlife by Raymond A. Moody Jr. and Paul Perry is a contemporary work in the spirituality and consciousness study space that argues for survival of consciousness beyond bodily death. Building on Moody's long public association with near-death experience research, the book aims to move past a single line of inquiry and assemble a broader, multi-angle case for an afterlife. The authors present 7 categories of reasons, drawing on reported experiences and case narratives, discussion of shared death experiences, and consideration of other anomalous phenomena that people often associate with dying, bereavement, and perceived contact with the deceased. Rather than offering a theological doctrine, the book positions itself as an evidence-oriented survey written for general readers. It blends investigative storytelling with reflection on what different types of reports might mean for the mind-body relationship. The overall purpose is reassurance and argument to challenge strictly materialist explanations of consciousness and to encourage readers to reconsider death as a transition rather than an endpoint. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a 7-part framework for arguing that consciousness survives. A defining feature of the book is its organizing promise 7 distinct reasons to believe there is an afterlife. Instead of treating afterlife belief as a single claim resting on one kind of testimony, Moody and Perry group multiple kinds of reported experiences into a structured framework. This approach matters because it invites comparison across categories and tries to show convergence, where different phenomena point toward a similar conclusion about the independence of mind from the physical body. The discussion also signals an intent to address skeptical readers. A cumulative case feels stronger than a one-off story, and it allows the authors to emphasize patterns, recurrence, and similarities in how people describe extraordinary events around death. The framework is presented in accessible language, but it borrows the posture of an investigator collecting accounts, noting consistencies, and asking what explanation best fits the overall body of reports. Readers who are familiar with Moody's earlier association with near-death experiences will recognize a continuation. But here, the emphasis is on synthesis across decades of inquiry and across multiple domains. The result is not a laboratory proof in the strict sense, but an argument that the weight of diverse testimony and observations is difficult to reduce to simple hallucination or coincidence. Secondly, shared death experiences and the challenge to hallucination explanations. One of the book's most distinctive emphases is shared death experiences, reports in which a person who is not dying describes perceiving aspects of another person's dying process. This line of inquiry is used to complicate the common skeptical claim that unusual perceptions near death are purely products of a compromised brain. If someone who is not medically near death reports a parallel experience, the authors argue the hallucination model is less straightforward. The book surveys types of such accounts, including perceptions that coincide with the moment of death and descriptions that feel participatory rather than merely observational. Because shared experiences are, by nature, socially distributed and sometimes temporally anchored to an external event, they are presented as a potentially stronger kind of testimony than a single individual report. The authors treat these narratives as data points that raise questions about how information might be perceived or shared outside ordinary sensory channels. At the same time, the discussion typically stays within a case-based, investigative mode rather than claiming a final scientific resolution. For readers, the value is in seeing how shared death experiences function as an argumentative pivot. They are used to argue that consciousness might not be wholly contained within the individual brain, especially at the boundary between life and death. Thirdly, crossing beyond near-death experiences to other anomalous death-related phenomena. While Moody is widely associated in public discourse with near-death experiences, this book broadens the scope to include additional experiences that people connect with death, dying, and bereavement. The authors discuss a range of reported phenomena that can include perceived signs at the time of death, intuitive or psychic impressions, and experiences interpreted as communication from deceased loved ones. This expansion is central to the book's identity. It is positioned as an integrative survey that asks what the larger landscape of death-related anomalies suggests when viewed together. The argument is not simply that any single report proves an afterlife, but that multiple independent streams of experience recur across time and culture and therefore deserve open-minded examination. In this way, the book functions as a bridge between popular afterlife literature and a more catalog-like approach to testimony. The authors also lean into the emotional reality of these reports. Many arise in moments of grief, caregiving, or sudden loss, and the book treats them as meaningful human experiences, even while attempting to interpret them as evidence. For readers, this topic shows how the book invites a wider conversation about consciousness and perception, not limited to clinical brush with death narratives alone. Fourthly, an investigative tone that blends narrative cases with philosophical reflection. The book's method is best described as investigative and synthetic rather than experimental. Moody and Perry present narratives and reported cases, and then step back to ask what they imply about the nature of mind and the possibility of survival after death. This blend of storytelling and reflection is part of the appeal. The narrative material makes the subject approachable. While the interpretive commentary signals that the authors are trying to do more than entertain, philosophically, the core issue is the relationship between consciousness and the body. The book repeatedly returns to the question of whether consciousness could be fundamental or at least partially independent, a position that directly challenges strict materialism. The authors also gesture toward standards of seriousness, using the language of evidence and reasons, and they frame their inquiry as a long-running effort to stay objective, while still following the implications of the reports. For readers, this topic highlights the genre balance. It is not a devotional text and not an academic monograph, but a trade book that tries to remain sober while addressing extraordinary claims. The practical effect is that even when one remains uncertain about ultimate conclusions, the reader is guided through how the authors weigh testimony, patterns, and alternative explanations. Lastly, implications for grief, meaning, and how to live with mortality. Beyond the evidential argument, the book is shaped by the human stakes of the question it tackles. If there is an afterlife, and if consciousness continues, then death is not merely annihilation, and that reframing changes how readers may process grief, fear, and the meaning of a finite life. The authors present their material in a way that can be reassuring to people who have lost loved ones or who carry anxiety about death, emphasizing continuity and the possibility that relationships are not permanently severed. This does not require that readers adopt a specific religious doctrine. The book is written to appeal to spiritually curious readers as well as to those who want a more evidence-oriented discussion. The implications also extend to ethics and priorities when life is understood as part of a larger continuum. Readers may feel encouraged to focus on connection, compassion, and purpose rather than purely material achievement. Importantly, the book's comfort-oriented dimension is tied to its evidential posture. It attempts to provide reassurance that is grounded in collected reports and long-term inquiry rather than in wishful thinking alone. For many readers, this is where the work lands most powerfully, not as a final proof, but as a structured set of reasons that makes hope feel more intellectually permissible. In conclusion, this book best suits readers who are interested in near-death experiences, end-of-life mysteries, consciousness studies, or spiritual questions approached through testimony and investigation rather than through theology alone. It can also work for cautious skeptics who do not want purely inspirational writing, since the authors try to build a cumulative case through multiple categories of reported experience. The most immediate benefit is conceptual readers gain a map of how different death-related phenomena are commonly discussed and how they are used to argue for survival after death, especially through the emphasis on shared death experiences. The second benefit is personal by framing death as a transition that may involve continued awareness and connection. The book offers a language of hope that some readers find helpful when coping with mortality or bereavement. What helps it stand out in the afterlife category is its synthesis. Many books focus narrowly on near-death experiences, or on mediumship, or on paranormal accounts. Here, the authors attempt a single, organized structure of reasons that pulls several strands together and asks readers to consider convergence rather than isolated anecdotes. Even if one remains unconvinced, the book provides a clear, readable survey of the kinds of evidence and arguments that have made the afterlife question enduring in modern popular nonfiction. If you would like to support Raymond A. Moody, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.